Okay, so I'm talking about courage. And, like, for me, one thing you need to know about me is I teach first grade. And so speaking of, like, little first graders is really easy for me. Speaking of people, like, around my age is really hard. So it takes, for me, this takes a lot of courage, honestly. So if any of you have seen the new Batman versus Superman movie, which, like, we're, like, really big fans of comic books, so, like, we see, like, all the comic book stuff, but, in the new movie, Wonder Woman is, she gets involved, in the battle, like, Batman and Superman are fighting, and then they team up, and there's this other bad guy, and his name is Doomsday, and, like, basically Doomsday is, like, from Krypton, and he's pretty indestructible, like Superman, and they're fighting him, and Wonder Woman steps in, and, like, for me, literally, when Wonder Woman, like, comes into the movie, I was, like, screaming inside, like, yay, because I love it, you know, and I was, like, I just love how she just is. For me, like, something that people kind of look at me and are, like, they don't know a lot about me. Like, they know I'm pretty shy and timid most of the time. I like skydiving. I've been skydiving. I would do it again if I had money to do it. Whenever, like, my husband and I went to Las Vegas for our friend's wedding last year, and I found out there was this 52-story zip line, I had to do it. I was like, I just had to do it, and my husband was supposed to go with me, and he chickened out. he totally, like, handed that off to his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law was like, I'm never going to trust you again. So, I don't know. I just, for me, like that, like, driving go-karts, like, those are things, like, I don't know, I like, I'm not nervous about. But there's, like, a lot of things that I get pretty nervous about. But I look at like, our key verse, really, for the weekend, and it's Philippians 4:13. And it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I look at that verse, and I remember, like, there's been a lot in my life. There's a lot in my life whenever I really just wasn't living for God. I really, you know, I have to look at this verse a lot, actually. As I've come through my walk with God, I really just can't do it without God. A lot of things that I've stood up for, I really couldn't do without God on a daily basis. And it's really just through Him, even speaking in front of people. I also think about Philippians 1:20. It says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. I had already started writing this verse for this lesson whenever my grandpa passed a little while ago. And you know, one of the things, like, about my grandpa is that, and my grandma, is that they're very faithful people. They've been very faithful, and you know, I think about just how they have had courage, and I look at people that have been lights in my life, you know, and they've had courage, and I used to think that courage was, like, you know, just like the skydiving thing, or just the thing, like, that was ridiculous in a way. But as I've grown in my walk with God, I've really just taken a look at these verses, like, and I just do hope that, you know, when you walk away from this, that hopefully you're encouraged to have sufficient courage to always let Christ be exalted in your body, and that you do, you know, in your life and hopefully in your death, that it is shown that people know it. The definition of courage is the ability to do something that you know is difficult or dangerous. And it says it's the mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. And I look around our world, and I see a lot of people being courageous. They're like speaking out, and the world praises a lot of things that it considers courageous, but God sees things differently, and He expects us to live differently. And it is the same definition, but it's not with the same mission. It's not with the same mindset. It's a choice to overcome fear of things of the world. You know, there's a lot of things like that, you know, skydiving or doing a 52-story zip line. Like, I was nervous, but that's not going to be something that God's like, yeah, you did that. Like, that's going to get you to heaven. Like, and He doesn't mind it, I don't think. But at the same time, you know, that's not what's going to stand out in my walk with God. In Proverbs 31:30, it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And it's talking about, you know, it's not, there. The Proverbs 31 woman, I mean, she looks like something that's impossible. But when I read that, it's not that she doesn't, you know, have fear. It's that her fear for the Lord, and it's a healthy fear, is what helps her overcome all the time. And, you know, courage doesn't look the same on everybody. I think about tons of ladies that I know are in our church. I know ladies that, you know, are caring for family members because other family members, you know, aren't doing the best. And I'm like, that's courageous. Or, you know, women that have persevered in their marriages when, you know, it's not going well. Women that have stepped out and have just been so courageous to reach out to people or just to be kind. And I see courage in the ladies in this room, everyone, and it's all different. And we all aren't going to show it the same way. And so I think about, I was at Things Life and Cara, like, about, you know, who do you think is really courageous in the Bible? And they said that they thought it was Mary, the mother of Jesus. They said she was so courageous because she believed God and carried out His mission, even though people probably thought really badly of her. And the world didn't understand. And Blythe said that even though, like, that she stayed with Jesus, even though the world was looking at him as a criminal, but he was actually following God. And I thought that was really good. It just reminded me that, you know, Mary didn't, you know, Mary carried out her mission with God, even though it's not going to look the same as, like there's ladies in Judges 4, and I would just think you should just read it. But in Judges 4, it talks about Deborah and Jael, and Mary's courage is not the same as Deborah's and not the same as Jael's. And so when I look around, like, make sure that you're being courageous in your own and you're not judging people just because it doesn't look the same on everybody else. In Proverbs 31, again, in verse 25, it says, she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. And I'm like, I'm not there. I'm definitely not there. But I'm like, I look at her and I'm like, she's not worried. She's like, whatever's coming, it's going to come and I'm going to roll with it. And that's courageous. You know, women, like Wonder Woman, like all women, don't have to take a stand. In the movie, Wonder Woman actually, in the new movie, which I'm going to quote that just because I love it, but she was going to leave. She wasn't even going to get in the fight. And she decided, like, I need to get in the fight. It's important. I need to be there. That's my mission. I think about women, like, when we were talking about these lessons, I think of women in history, and we just taught about women's history in class, and there are tons of women in history that were courageous women. And I think about all the women in the Bible and how, you know, they didn't have to take a stand. I mean, you don't have to take a stand. It's your choice. God gives you the choice, but honestly, how would you rather go through your life, like, not taking a stand and, I mean, living really kind of a humdrum life, or like, no, I fought the good fight. I ran the race. I got to heaven knowing that my God is smiling at me. So, you know, I would just, I'm going to have Chelsea come up, and Chelsea's just going to talk to you about some things that have gone on in her life, and ways that she's shown courage. And Chelsea is somebody who I think is courageous. She doesn't really think so, but she is. So, anyway.
Thanks. So this is my first time. Well, it didn't look like a lot of you, but standing up here now, it feels like there's a lot more than there was. So clearly I am a nervous wreck, because I've never done this before, standing up and talking about my life and, you know, trying to give you guys the ability to feel courageous, or, you know, hopefully see my life as an example. So it's hard for me to want to say that this is something that I'm good at, you know, and say, yeah, like, look at my life, and of course you should follow all these examples, because I don't look at all those moments that I had to take a stand as courage, because I remember feeling just absolute terror going through it, and just, you know, obviously even after I did take a stand on these things I'm talking to you about, you know, afterwards I felt like it was completely broken, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of hard things happened. And so it didn't feel courageous. It just felt kind of like tragedy almost. And so when she asked me, you know, oh, yeah, let's talk about courage. I was like, why? And, you know, it took a lot of talks with my husband and with, like, the friends that are closest to me that pretty much was like, you just got to suck it up. Like, you're being stupid. And pretty much, like, remind me that courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the ability to face the fear, and to, you know, knowing the outcome, do it anyway. And so I'm just going to try to start from the beginning and not talk too long, not to ramble. So I was 12 years old when I decided that I was going to follow Jesus. I think that I believed that I was following God all along, but 12 years old was when I decided to get baptized. And it was a pretty big controversy in my family because, I'm really sorry. So my family was divorced, my mom and my dad. And my whole family on my mother's side, they were Catholic. And, you know, everything was a battle, not just about religion, you know, like holidays, weekends, sports, anything, you know, there was always a fight. Sometimes it was, you know, using me and my brother. I have a twin brother, and anybody else doesn't know. Sometimes we were caught in the middle of it and felt like, you know, our world was really just unstable, because we didn't want to have to choose between mom and dad, whatever. So I drug my feet for a long time whether I was going to be baptized or not, because really it was the fear of what was going to happen. You know, I think that my family believed that if I was going to become a Christian, that meant that I was choosing my dad, you know, and I was choosing his faith, and I was going to be more affiliated with him, and I was going to just reject them. And that wasn't the case at all. You know, I felt like I wasn't doing what God really wanted me to do. You know, it was pretty plain and simple that he wanted me to be repent and be baptized. And you can't really go around that and say, like, okay, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm not going to do A, B, and C. So I kept trying to take God on my own terms, you know, saying like, okay, well, I still believe in Jesus, but if I'm going to get baptized, then my mom is going to like explode, and there's going to cause all this friction between my family, and da 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 da. Like, I'm not going to do it. So I just said, to heck with it. I'm just going to like ride the waves and be a Jesus lover. But then my brother went and screwed it up, because he was like, well, I can't do that. Like, I can't pretend to be a Christian and not follow what the Bible says. So he went and got baptized. And I watched as this kind of like this atomic bomb erupted in my household. You know, he was harassed and he was just treated really brutally. It was a really just an unstable environment. So I'll try not to like tell you his story, because it's pretty ugly, and it's not mine to tell. But I watched all that happen, and I was like, "Ooh, like I know that that's going to happen to me. Like that is an absolute preview of what will happen to me if I decide that I'm going to be baptized. So, no, thank you." But the problem was that, like I said, the facts were facts that the Bible said, plain and simple. If you're going to follow me, you have to be my disciple. You have to obey me. You have to do the things that I do. You have to mirror me. And, you know, Jesus got baptized and he was persecuted, and he told all of his disciples, you know, it's going to happen. You're going to be persecuted. Not an if, it's an absolute certainty. It's going to happen. And so I was like, oh, these guys face death. Cool. And I am worried about my family, you know, exploding on me, and I'm worried about, you know, my mom disapproving, or the battle that's going to happen, or any kind of scars that I might get. So that kind of really woke me up. Sorry. you guys know what I chose. I chose to get baptized. It was a December. I think it was a December 31st, New Year's Eve. I don't know why I'm struggling to tell you the date. But I remember calling my mom and just, you know, my dad told me, okay, well, you can make this decision, but you have to tell your mother before you do it. And I was like, why? Why would you make me do that? That's awful. You're a terrible father. And he was like, I mean, why are you going to try to hide it from her? You have to tell her the truth. So, you know, I'm 12 years old. I'm on the phone. I'm like, well, Mom, I'm going to get baptized. And it's not because I don't love you. It's because I love Jesus, and this is what I believe. And dead silence on the phone. And she was like, I'm just disappointed in you. And I was like, okay, I love you. Bye. And, you know, at least at that moment, she was 3 hours away, you know, so there really wasn't anything she could do about it. She wasn't going to, you know, get in her car and drive down there and, like, smack the crap out of me or anything. But, you know, just knowing that she was that disappointed in me for doing what I believed and what I stood up for, you know, that was tough. So, you know, everything that I was afraid of after that did happen. You know, it wasn't like I chose God and then he said, okay, well, you were courageous and you stood up for me, so we're just going to erase anything that you were afraid of and blah, 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 it's going to be fine. And that's not what happened, actually. In fact, it was a horrible windstorm of things, and you were there for all that. Big custody battle, really long, really brutal, and I don't want to go into all of the details of that, because you know, it's really, really ugly. Let me just say it like that. So by the end of it, though, I was living with my dad, and I wouldn't say that he won the custody battle. It was more like my mom just said, okay, fine, and you can go live with your dad, but all of these things have to happen first, you know, like your dad has to drive you to me, blah, 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 and he has to pay this amount of money, and I get to claim you and on taxes. So it was like, I just felt not relieved, I just felt a lot of anger. You know, like, I think what I should have felt was, like, amazed that God pulled me through all of this amazing, like, hard stuff. But I didn't. I was just mad and bitter at everything. And I felt like I had a right to feel that way. So instead of healing from it, instead of, you know, doing what God said and forgiving people, I just coped with how to live like that. I just coped with the pain, and I got mad at people who tried to tell me anything different. I'm avoiding you. I think I just went through the motions of being a Christian, you know. I was a good church girl. I went to discipleship groups, you know, and I went to cross chats, and but I developed relationships with people that wanted to just let me be who I was and let me stay that way. And that was my closest friend, like one. And everybody else was acquaintances, because other than that, those were the ones that were like, yeah, let's follow Jesus, let's forgive people, and like let's love ourselves. Because at that time, I was like, what's wrong with me that I didn't have a normal childhood, or I didn't have a normal mom, or you know, that I couldn't be loved for who I was, and for what I stood for. All those things just like worked inside of me and just made me want to be alone and like shoved in my shell. And I lived like that for 10 years. And that's a really embarrassing thing for me to tell you. That it didn't just like, I didn't just like wake up and go, oh, I get it now. Jesus was right. Okay, I get it. It took me a long time to be like, you are being a coward because you're running away from all of these things that you feel. And you're running away from the people who can actually help you and see you for who you really are. Gosh, I'm sorry that I'm like weeping up here. Did not expect to cry this much. So, I remember the day that I decided that I was really sick of everything. I was really sick of being alone. And I was sick of being miserable, because I was just miserable. I was miserable and tired of being angry. And tired of being sad. And it was around the time that a lot of my friends left the church. I was at a church camp, and I remember Nathan and Nicole sitting me down and just really telling me that they had all these hopes and these dreams for me. And they really couldn't really do anything for me because I was shut off from them. And so I had to make a choice if I was going to open up and be vulnerable to women and to my ministry, really, to people who were going to be able to help me, not to physically change my life or anything, but for people to speak words to me that were not going to be things that I like to hear. And I think looking in the mirror was the first part, and being like, you are just selfish, Chelsea. You are so caught up on everything that you feel, and you think that you should feel this way. I kept reading. Sorry. My iPad shut off on me. Opening up to people and opening up to my friends was really the scary part, because I didn't want to show them how prideful and selfish I was. You know, telling them that I was really immature and that I felt like I should be mad at my mom in particular, and that I didn't have to forgive her because what she did was terrible. I realized when I was saying it like that, it was really ugly, and I didn't like how people would see me for saying that kind of thing. But doing that really allowed them to tell me and to really see where I was wounded, and I think it really helped me to just make the choice to heal, you know, not to actually sit in my pain, but that I had to actually physically get up and go do the things that I didn't want to do, and that I had to face the person that wanted to hide and be away from people. So we're going to take a break from that part of my life because, you know, there's just a lot of decisions that I had to make after that. So if we flash forward to when I have a full-time job, you know, and I moved out of my dad's house, you know, things are going really great. I'm leading a group of girls. I actually started to have a relationship with my mom, and it was the craziest thing because I did not expect that I would ever really love her again. I didn't expect that, like, I could feel love from her. In fact, I just thought that for the rest of my life, like, she was shunned and walled off from me. But forgiving myself and forgiving her, I now can call her on a Friday night and just talk to her for an hour, and she can tell me like how her day is going, and I'm not mad at her. And that's an amazing thing. Like, if you could remember where I came from, Kim's nodding her head because she knows the times that I was at her house, and I'm like, she's the devil. And sorry, you know, and I. Anyway, I've developed the relationship with my mom, and I'm starting to lead a group of girls. And, you know, I'm starting to think, like, all those scared and really pitiful and cowardly ways are behind me. And then I started to be in Kim's position that she was with me, where I'm trying to pour into a group of ladies that become my closest friends and become people that I love and admire. And I'm trying to show them what I have learned, because I've learned so much from just being humble and letting people pour into me. And I had gone out on campuses and pretty much was like, hey, this is me. I'm pretty much weird and awkward, but do you want to know Jesus? And then they came. Not sure why, but that's how that happened. So I'm sitting with these people that have seen me be really weird and awkward, and they're my best friends, and I'm trying to show them who God is and what he's done to me. Because look at all crap that I went through, you know? Like, God's amazing. Can you see that my life has changed from being this really pathetic person, that now I can forgive and I can love and I can heal and be a better person? And some of them were like, that's cool, but I want to go do whatever I want to do. And then I had to say, I don't think that that's okay. You know, I'm pretty sure that the Bible says that that's wrong. And some of them just rejected me completely. And that was really, that sucked the most, you know, because I wanted to kind of crawl back in and be like, well, I still want you to like me. I still want you to be my friend. But I can't look at the Bible and say and tell you that that's okay to do. You know, you're calling yourself a Christian, and you're going around to all these people and telling them that you're a Christian, but you're living this lifestyle. I feel like you're condemning these people to hell because they think that that's okay. So what do I do? Do I sit here and say, yeah, okay, sure, you'll figure it out eventually, right? Like, eventually you're going to read what I read, and you're going to know that this is what is true. And you can still like me, basically. That's not what I was convicted of, because we were going through the Not a Fan lessons at the time. And I remember some of the big things that were pointed out to me was that Jesus would stand in front of groups and groups, like millions of people, hundreds, whatever, lots of people, let's just say that. And he would tell them the truth, just basically plain and simple. And he didn't cover it up. He didn't try to shy back from it. He didn't try to make it easier for them to hear. In fact, he just let them walk away. He was like, hey, this is what God says. Take it or leave it. And some of them took it, and some of them left. Because I really wish that I had written down the verse that that came from. But go read Matthew, like when he's on the mount, you know. And it says that like hundreds of people walked away from him. And that really convicted me because I thought, why am I trying to make these people stay? Why am I trying to get them to like me? Because I'm actually hurting them from having this real authentic healing relationship with God. So, and then during the Not a Fan thing, can't remember the author's name right now because my mind is just going a mile a minute, but he said that he was really sorry that he had ever tried to cheapen Jesus because he tried to make it easier for people to want him. And that really kicked my butt. I was like, man, that's what I'm doing. You know, I'm trying to make it easier for these, I'm trying to make it an easier pill for these people to swallow. So I made a commitment that that wasn't who I was going to be anymore. That I was going to stand up for Jesus, and I was going to always try to tell the truth and try to tell it in the most loving way possible, and the way that they would see Jesus through me. I wanted to be the light to the world. I didn't want to look like the world. I wanted to be, you know, set apart. And because of that, the people that wanted it, they stuck around. You know, I don't want to make you think that I said it and then like everybody in my group just like left. They're like, oh, see ya. No, actually, I had some really good friends that stayed. You know, Kelsey Anderson and Nicole. You know, those are just to name a few. Those were the people that stuck by me through all of it. But the ones that left were really, really painful. You know, it didn't get easier. In fact, it still hurts me to think about some of the friends that I lost because I wanted to love them and I wanted to love Jesus. And sometimes when I think about pouring into women and pouring into girls in my group, it makes me not want to because, you know, I'm afraid of what they're going to do or what they're going to reject me because I love Jesus. And it makes me fear that at work, too. Because I get called judgmental and I get called a perfectionist and I get called holier than thou because I simply say, no, I don't believe that. Or, no, I don't want to go for a drink after work. No, I'm sorry, that's not what I'm going to do. Or, yeah, I'm going to go to a discipleship group this weekend, you know. Those things make me unpopular. But I feel so much more at peace knowing that whenever I stand in front of God, that I can say that I'm doing the best that I can and that I'm really just trying to stand up for Him and stand on His Word and tell the truth as I know it, you know, because let's be honest, I'm only 27. The word that I've learned today is not going to be what the word that I know years from now, I know that it's going to adapt and change over time. And I have no classy way of ending this, so I just wanted to tell you that I know that all the things that I've told you has been really, really kind of sad, and I've cried this whole time, but it really is more fulfilling to be a woman of God and to look back at your life and say, I really did the best that I could. And hopefully someday the truth that I've spoken to these people that rejected me, we'll look back on it and be able to remember that I love them and I still love them, even though they've left or rejected God, and they can have that chance sometime in the future. So, okay.
Okay, so I really appreciate what Chelsea said. I know it was really, really hard for her. And you know, I think about 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity. And that's been a verse that I've clung to quite a bit. I remember whenever I first became a Christian, and there was like a lot of things I really just needed to change, and I still need to change. And just having that verse in front of me time and time again to go, you know, God didn't give me a spirit of timidity. I need to step out with him. I need to have that courage. And he says time and time again, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Time and time again. And he says he's going to be with us. So some of the ways that I thought of that we could show courage, I'm going to go with the acronym STAND. So the first one is have courage to, first of all, stand apart from the world. I know Chelsea talked a lot about that, and there's a lot of things in her story that I can identify with, even in my workplace, and I know they're going to talk more about your workplace later, but like when I first became a Christian and I was dating Mike and we weren't the average worldly couple, and I got harassed pretty hard for it. Mike got harassed pretty hard for it, but we were trying to stand on God, and even now, like things going on now at 33, in our school district, and there are things that are ridiculous and make no sense to me at all. And, you know, I just really want to be mad about it, and I think I have a right to be mad, but at the same time, I'm really just like, I can't be like the world about it and not stand perfect in it by no means, but trying to resist gossiping, trying to resist those things, and like trying to stand apart from the world. I would encourage you to read James 4, 1 through 10. But I'll read you two of the verses. In verse 4, it says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." And then in verses 7 and 8, it says, "So submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." You know, he doesn't give us that spirit of timidity. And it says, cling to him, and he's going to come near to him, and he's going to come near to you. Resist Satan, and he's going to flee from you. He's not going to want to keep coming after you. I think about Psalms 19:14. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer." You know, your words and your actions are not supposed to match what the world looks like. And that verse, time and time again, I have to remind myself, what am I saying? What am I thinking? What are those things that are going to... It is going to be courageous. It's going to be cowardly for me to go back and do what I did before. It's going to be courageous to stand apart and not be holier than thou, not be judgmental, but just be who God says I'm supposed to be in a loving way. And so I ask you, like, is the way you are living becoming based on the Word of God, or the opinions in your own mind, or the world? You know, the world and your own opinions, you've got them. Now I've got them. But what is your life really being lived by? As we've been reading through Acts in our group, time and time again, I'm reminded about the first century and how they stood apart. And I would just encourage you to look for those ways that the first century church stood apart and they weren't the same. And I think about standing apart, not just at work, at school, in your family, in your marriage. You know, how does your marriage look dependent on God? How does your marriage stand apart from the world? It's not common for a woman to be like, "Well, I need to talk to my husband first about that," or, you know, we really don't cut each other down as many times as we possibly can to other people. I know in our family, there's definitely been times where in our family we've had to agree to disagree. And our family, like Chelsea's family, has come through a lot sometimes. And I feel like we're strengthened through it. I agree with, like, Chelsea, you know, there's times whenever it looks like impossible. But God, through my choices to follow God, and through hopefully my example and their choices to follow God, we've healed. And I am thankful for that. It doesn't always happen, but I had to do what I felt like God wanted me to do. I think about Matthew 5. It talks about, and I know Denise talked about this, it talks about salt and light. And it talks about how salt, like, once it loses its saltiness, can't be salty again. And I'm just like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to lose my saltiness, you know. And I want to have that healthy fear for God to stand apart and to season wherever I am. The next one, number two, is the T is transform your faith and knowledge of Jesus. Something I want you to think about is, and it came to me. I was doing this devotional, and I was reading, and it brought up Genesis 3:5, where Satan is talking to Eve, and I was just like, I don't think about it like this, but from the beginning, Satan has really just tried to get us to believe that we can be like God. We can just, you know, we can, it says, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And I'm like, how many times do I sit there and go, why is this happening in our world? Like, why is that happening? That makes no sense. And that's because Satan really has just gone, you're just going to know on your own. You, whatever your opinion is, like, that is totally what God thinks. You know right from wrong. You know. And I'm going, no, you have to look. You have to be able to look in the Bible and find out who Jesus is. Let it transform. Be courageous in finding out who Jesus is and finding out who God is and really, you know, being on your guard. 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15 warns. It warns about false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ, and that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of the light. The world has many opinions about God and Jesus, and you have to be willing to get in there and look for it. Look at him. Find out who he really is. You know, there was a conversation I had with somebody just a little while ago, and they were talking about a situation that they didn't agree with, and basically it was like they didn't agree because the person had been challenged kind of hard, but the challenge came from Scripture, and it had been led, you know, like trying to get the person to see it, and finally it's like, look, what are you going to do here? Jesus, like she said, Jesus did not, he loved people. He definitely did. But at the same time, he wasn't like, well, you can just keep going. I'm going to tell you the truth, and I love you anyway, but you've got to pick. And, you know, my question to you is really like, what are you standing on? Where are you getting your information from? The same person that I had the conversation with, no matter who you're listening to, whether it's, you know, out of a book, a great book, or a preacher or something, get in the Word and look it up. Seek out what it is. Don't just take that person's word for it. And I don't mean anything against it, including me, like, including our preacher, whoever it is, including some, like, famous preacher, you know, on the television or whatever. Like, look it up. Get in the Word. Find out for yourself. That is courageous. Part of standing apart is not living by who the world says Jesus is. So, and have courage to grow. A lot of the times, you know, we do want to, like, stick by, you know, what we're comfortable in. We don't want to step out. But it is courageous to grow and find out and be challenged and move. The next one, the A, is accept who God says you are. And Denise talks a ton about that. it says in the Bible time and time again who God says you are, and you really just have to believe that. And like Gina said too, like sometimes like it's just going like, okay, you say this, I really don't feel like it, but I just need to do it. I just need to realize like that's who God says I am. And then, you know, something like, in the movie, I was cracking up. Because whenever Wonder Woman was going to, like, run away from the fight, and then Batman and Superman are getting their butts kicked, and she steps in, and she didn't want to. She wanted to run. She was about to run away. And she's really like, no, this is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. And she got in the fight. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. Accept who God says you are. And keep it in your mind. Put it, write it like on a sticky note. Like, write it, you know, put it in a note in your car or something. Like, mine, I have, like, it on my lock screen. Like, I have a scripture on my lock screen to, like, remind me time and time again. Because I need that reminder. The next one is navigate with honesty and integrity. After looking in God's Word, be honest with where you are. Look in the mirror and really find out, have the courage to do something about it. Have the courage not to be fake, and have the courage not to be a people pleaser. I spent a lot of my young life being two completely different people, and I'm very tempted to do that quite a bit. Try not to. Have the courage to be real. Chelsea, like, I think of Chelsea and, like, her real is not always my real. Like, Chelsea sometimes can say things, like, in a way that I can't. And it doesn't, and if we're both standing on the Word of God in a loving way, that's okay. I think about, you know, be honest with godly women. Proverbs 27:6 says, words from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And shed light. Shed light where you go. When I think of honesty and integrity, I think of like two different people. I think of somebody kind of like me who's like, who just needs to speak up sometimes and just needs to say it. And then there's times whenever there are people that they speak a lot and they need to think more and be courageous to think through what God needs them to say and to say it in that loving way. And so I don't know, you know, there's different ladies in this room. Like, some of you just need to speak up, and some of you need to think through what God really just wants you to say sometimes and be courageous in that. In James 4:11, it says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. And so just be courageous to not be somebody that, like she said, is like one way over here and the other way over here. Work hard at that. And the last one is dedicate yourself to God's mission. That's another way you can be courageous. I think of Isaiah 41:9-10. It says, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. That's Isaiah 41:9-10. And that's something that that's actually on my lock screen. It's been on my lock screen for a while because, like, one of the things that I'm tempted to feel is alone. I'm tempted to feel worried quite a bit. And I just need to know that He's there and that He holds me up and that I can have courage in that. And I have a mission, and He called me to it, and I just need to keep going with what's in front of me, whatever He's got in front of me. Luke 9:23-26 says, then He said to them all, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their very soul? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. So, I don't know your mission. Sometimes your mission is not going to look like what people think your mission is. There's times whenever I've just been like, I don't know what God's plan is for you, but I question, what is God's word showing you? What is God's word showing you that you really need to work on? But in the long run, I don't know what God's mission is for your life, and I encourage you to find that out. Take up your cross daily and follow him. It's courageous. Like I said, you know, I look around our church and I see a lot of courage in the ladies in our church. And I just encourage you to, you know, if there's something you need to work on, be courageous and work on it. Okay? All right. Thank you.